You're as hot as zombie takeout on a griddle and just as yummy. Hello and welcome to episode 472 of Zombie Takeout. I could not say that with a straight face. And before we get to this week's movie, just want to give a quick shout out to Elaine Giles, a listener. She never comments or voicemails us or anything like that, but I always see her liking our posts on Facebook, so I just wanted to, you know, give her a little love.
Those likes.
Yeah. And on to this week's movie, finishing what is now our Cage two-parter, because we were going to do Wild Heart. It's no longer on HBO Max, and we don't want to stoop to National Treasure, and we do want to fit in a tribute episode. And this week it is, from 2001, Willy's Wonderland. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by animatronic characters. You can dress them up however you want, but we all know they're just robot serial killers.
And also brought to you by the Super Happy Fun Room. Come for the ritualistic suicide. Stay for the hot robot on man action.
That was a rough scene.
All right, so we've got a person driving through the. I think they start. They actually start before. They show a little bit of the horrors going on. In Willy's Wonderland.
They start with a shot of them on screen like what they showed in the restaurant when it was running, and even that was creepy as fuck.
Right, and the family getting, you know, husband and wife getting killed, mm-hmm. you know, by kind of like the, like that In the Ring style kind of fast motion horror mm-hmm. where these animatronic creatures are just having their way. We cut to then a gentleman riding around in is that a bitchin' Camaro?
Yes, it was. And a very clear shot of the Chevy logo. I have to wonder if they were a sponsor.
But alas, he hits some spikes on the road. And the tow truck guy, you know, that comes and helps him out, he, for some reason, lugs a whole case of energy drinks out. For some reason,
while he's waiting for the tow truck, he goes into his trunk and there's a case of energy drink in there, and he, you know, starts drinking one.
And he takes them all out too, so he has them with him. But when they take him into town, they pretty much reveal that it was intentional, the spikes there, and he got caught in this thing.
Much later, it's revealed.
Nah, he's pretty much, he goes to the sheriff, got caught in your zigzags.
Yeah, well, because they were saying that's right, that they were stolen out of the cop car and the kids, you know, left them there to fuck with somebody.
Oh, okay, I missed the cover story and just thought they were pretty much being upfront that
the cover story is that a bunch of kids stole them out of the cop car and now they were found. And you know, the assumption is that they were left there by the kids as a prank.
Yeah. So he his only choice is to, because they don't have an ATM or the internet or anything, so his only choice is to spend the night at this, it's not really an amusement park. It's just a big Chuck E. Cheese kind of place.
They give him a job, and because he can't pay for his car repairs, they give him a job, you know, cleaning up this
place.
You know, defunct Chuck E. Cheese style restaurant with these animatronic characters.
And of course, throughout all this, he is not saying a single goddamn word.
He yells a few times, but that's it.
Yeah, there's some grunts and yells, but he never actually says a word. And of course, you know, it's like a Clint Eastwood movie where I'm watching and, like, we're keeping track of the time to when he finally talks.
About 45 minutes I Googled it and to check if he has any dialogue.
And so he takes his job seriously. He's cleaning away when one of the animatronic ostriches comes to life and confronts him. His reaction, he kind of stares at it. He kind of, like, hits it, gives a little, kind of soft punch.
He antagonizes.
Yeah.
He escalates.
He kind of escalates the face off. And
maybe that should be the trilogy.
No.
Maybe.
Hell no. All right. So then when the ostrich attacks, he doesn't recoil in horror like most of its victims have done in the past.
Hmm.
He kind of says, oh, and it looks like he starts enjoying himself. Yeah. And then proceeds to beat the shit out of the ostrich. Yeah. To quote Sarah Getty, you most savagely and entertainingly beat him to a pulp. Then, you know, rips out his animatronic heart and stuffs him in a garbage bag and puts him by the door.
Hmm. So I thought it was more the spine. It was like a total Mortal Kombat, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of like a Mortal Kombat thing. And how does he react to this? Yeah, he goes back to cleaning. Hmm. Of course, he sets a timer for every hour because the guy also told him he should always take a lot of breaks. So he sets a timer, and every hour he goes and has one of his energy drinks, discovers a pinball machine in the kitchen for some reason, and starts playing that during his break. And while he's in there, he gets attacked by another animatronic creature. And of course, he pretty much does the same thing to that in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than go through, like at this point, of course, you would any normal person would be, all right, I'm taking all these motherfuckers apart and getting to them before they get to me.
Or I'm getting the fuck out and finding or another I'm way to get to the next town.
Right. Not him. He goes back to cleaning.
Yeah.
He just goes back to cleaning and waits for the next one to rise up to challenge him. And so on throughout the whole series of animatronic creatures. Now, the other plot in the back is that there's these group of kids who, one wants to burn the place down in the beginning and gets caught and kind of arrested. We realize then later that the sheriff is kind of a foster mom to her because her parents were killed in Willy's Wonderland. Because the deal is these serial killers running the place made a satanic ritual to transfer themselves into the animatronic creatures. And instead of terrorizing the town, the sheriff came up with the idea of giving them a sacrifice, I guess from a yearly basis or time to time or whatever. Yeah. And of course, our hero, the janitor, was that sacrifice. But instead, he just beat the shit out of all of them.
And when the kids first get together, they have to break out the sheriff's adopted daughter and out of her trailer where she was handcuffed. And they're talking about this drifter who just showed up. Like, they have a name for him and everything. Like, they were expecting him. And this is way before we find out about the sacrifice thing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of odd.
And so hilarity ensues pretty much because, of course, the kids...
He proceeds to beat the shit out of the animatronics. The kids sneak in to rescue him. All get knocked off one by one.
Except fucking up the plan because they get killed themselves. Except
for the sheriff's daughter.
And draw the sheriff back in. Because if the kids hadn't gone there, he would have just beaten the shit out of all of them. And it would have been done deal the next day. You know, they would have just, you know, found the place clean and empty.
And we find out that the sheriff's daughter was the daughter of the married couple who were killed as a sacrifice.
Yeah, but she somehow survived and they kept her.
And he rides off into the sunset with the daughter.
Hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, even from the beginning, when you see those characters on the screen, they are creepy as fuck. And this is what they played when the restaurant was running and it was supposed to be cute. But the title sequence gave me serious Mandy vibes, and then the rest of the movie proceeded to do the same.
But if you've been to a Chuck E. Cheese, those things are pretty goddamn nasty.
But yeah, this is basically Mandy, and hence the title of this week's episode. It's Mandy Meets Five Nights at Freddy's. Prior to the release, the film received a small cult following due to its sharing a premise with Five Nights at Freddy's. Writer Gio Parsons and director Kevin Lewis have denied any similarities. There are absolutely similarities. Whether or not they were influenced by Five Nights at Freddy's is another story. I don't know. I didn't check dates, but I would suspect they probably were.
Right. Trying to not to get sued.
Five Nights at Freddy's, basically you're hired as like a nighttime security, effectively. And you have to monitor all of these cameras, and you only have enough energy to keep one door closed at a time. So it's this balancing act of keeping monitoring and keeping things closed, and so that the animatronics don't get in and kill you.
Yeah, that dates back to 2014.
Okay, so way before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember much of the lore of Five Nights, so I don't know if... I think there might be a sacrifice thing in there, too. Or a satanic ritual thing. Anyway.
You could say South Park came up with it first with the Hail Satan, woodland creatures.
Yeah. But again, very much Mandy. When he, has the accident at the beginning, gets out and drinks the energy drink, it's really a lesson in how to look tough while waiting for a tow truck.
Which is really tough to do, honestly, because It's like, I need some other dude to help me.
Also, never trust a town without internet.
Of course. Right. No way.
And I loved seeing Cage unload on the first character, the bird.
Oh, yeah. That was beautiful. It was kind of jarring. You know, like, you weren't expecting it. You were expecting kind of a chase or something. You're expecting him to be like, and running. And instead, you just get this Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, great finishing move. And Cage, in his 50s, in his late 50s now, has become this sort of absurdist action hero.
Yeah.
And I love it. This, Mandy, the massive, unbearable weight of massive talent. He's got kind of the action thing going. And it's brilliant. I wish he had done this, decades ago.
Well, I mean, I guess he... earned enough with the Disney National Treasure Sorcerer's Apprentice stuff.
Was it Chasing Amy? First you do the art film, then you do the commercial film, that whole bit. Was that in Chasing Amy?
I don't think it was. It might have been Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Probably. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, when they go to visit Affleck and Damon. You do the art film, then you do the commercial film. And Cage has really done that in his career. But I love this action hero thing he has going on now. And he somehow makes cleaning look cool.
I don't know about that, but he's really good at it, because some of that shit was not going to come off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, permanent marker like that?
Yeah.
And he's just rubbing it off? I don't know. Graffiti?
And you mentioned he kills the bird. He destroys the bird and then just goes back to cleaning.
Yes.
It's not just cleaning. He's detailing the pinball machine.
Right. But yeah, that's such a great part. Just the whole weirdness of just like, yeah, so he attacked me, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then he just go, back to cleaning.
And that birthday song was stuck in my head for the rest of the night.
I was worried about that birthday song and how many times I heard it. And yeah, I did kind of hear that for the rest of the night, too.
And I just love how committed his character is to doing his job. Because the kids break in and Liv, the sheriff's daughter, tells him what's up. And they're like, you got to get out of here. I broke in to get you out to save you because we're going to burn the building down. And he insists on staying and doing his job. Not killing the animatronic characters. That's a secondary thing. He insists on cleaning the place.
I mean, if they had left him alone, he would have left them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? After, like, he kills how many, why don't they just, say, we'll take everybody else, you.
Well, yeah, once the kids were there, it's like, okay, yeah, we have our sacrifice. We've already killed, like, four of them. But by that point, they were just getting payback, because he'd already killed a bunch of them.
there is something about I'm trying to think of like the movie where it was like the doll or something that we did. Oh, the pinata movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where they treat it
Killer just pinata.
Putting it in that context of him taking the garbage bags and putting it like in view of the stage for them to see.
Right.
But I don't think that was the intention either. I think he's just like, oh yeah, I can't open the door to take these out of the dumpster, so I'll just leave them here. But if you look at it from their point of view, it's like, he's fucking taunting us.
Yeah. And I love how they break up the backstory. First we get it from Liv, then we get it from her mother.
Yeah.
Later.
Because, you know, each has a different point of view of what's happened, of course.
Yeah. And there's this very psychedelic organ music during the sex scene very much reminded me of Mandy.
The whole chaos of that scene. Are we talking about the same scene where just everybody's like in separate rooms and there's just people getting killed left and right and he's cleaning
and
or playing pinball.
Two characters having sex, of course they're going to die.
Yes.
And that scene gets wonderfully gory.
And he's just playing pinball.
Yeah. And he is obsessive. I'm not going to say he has OCD. One of your title suggestions mentioned OCD. I actually have OCD, so I'm not going to say he had OCD, but he was regimented.
Wait. Okay, hold on. He had an hour schedule to drink his energy drinks, and he was a fucking fantastic cleaner and insisted on cleaning the whole place up even after getting attacked 8-9 different times.
Okay, there's evidence, but you know, as someone who actually has it, I'm hesitant to diagnose, but there is quite a bit of evidence. But he was not only like obsessive about cleaning, but he was completely regimented in like his alarm goes off. He has I think it's soda. It wasn't just energy drink because it said when he hands one to the daughter at the end, you clearly see pop.
That's true.
So
that's
it's probably soda.
I was kind of confused whether it was just plain old soda or an energy drink. Yeah. One of my favorite scenes, of course, is when him and Liv were about to face Siren. I can't remember, Sarah Siren or whatever that was. And just before the fight starts, his alarm goes off and he looks down, hands Liv the knife.
Yeah. Like, you take care of this. I gotta go drink a soda and play pinball.
What the fuck? And to cut her fight scene with him just drinking a soda and playing pinball is hilarious.
Also loved the rock version of heads, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Oh, it was country.
Country rock.
And you don't know what it is. Like, you know, he kicks the jukebox, which is, of course, another cool move.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, what is going to happen here? And then it's like,
heads, shoulders,
I don't know what it is.
The Rorschach quote was a bit cringy. You know, when White Liv says, you know, they're not, he's not locked in there with them. They're locked in there with him. That one comes up a lot in, you know, in geek circles. So I'm a little tired of the reference.
But it was true, though. Because the whole point of the movie is it, but it flips it on the head where, you know, it's kind of like the whole Chuck Norris and the Boogeyman sort of thing.
For those who don't know, it's from the comic and movie Watchmen. Rorschach ends up, this one, you know, hero ends up, Rorschach, hero in quotes, ends up in jail. And during a riot, he says, you know, when everybody, all the other inmates are attacking him, he says, you know, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. In the book, it's a brilliant line. But it's just been referenced so much that I've gotten a little tired of it. Loved Cage's dancing when he was playing pinball. He was kind of dancing to the music that was playing. And it was it's the title theme, Willy's Wonderland. Great little like synth pop tune.
It's the same band that did like all of them.
Yeah, Ennui is the artist's name. Who I have to look into because they're very like interesting. I mean, I love synth pop, you know, but I loved that song in particular. Loved how Willy cut the cop in half with one swipe. Like one animatronic paw swipe, he just rips her literally in half.
And it just kind of scratches the janitor.
Mm-hmm. and Cage using the soda cans in a bag as a weapon against Willie.
I wasn't quite sure why he had to do that.
They're kind of his iconic thing, and so you know, turning it into a weapon was just a nice touch. Because for most of it, he just has his broom handle that he snapped in half.
Like, weren't they going to burst, though, once you open them?
Oh, soda cans are pretty strong, and, you know, you put four or five of them in a bag, you've got a good, you know...
Yeah, but the way he was swinging that thing, that was a lot of shaking action.
Yeah. Once you try to open one of them, it's going to go all over the place, but...
Which would have been a nice touch at the end if, you know, when you went to open it, if it just went...
Right. Yeah. This movie is the only time I've enjoyed hearing the song Freebird in, like, the last few decades. Because it just fits perfectly. It's the next morning as he's leaving, you hear Freebird. And how did she get that he was asking her to come with him? Because he still doesn't say a word. And it's not like he gestures toward the car.
Right. He doesn't even gesture. I don't understand any of it. But it's just the, what else is she going to do? You know, you're going to stay around in this place without the internet and the weird, like, satanic thing going on here.
And, of course, the Zippo that was discarded in the beginning of the movie because it didn't work ends up blowing up the place up.
That's what that was.
Yeah. Check out Zippo. Which I wrote down as soon as I think it was the sheriff, or no, it wasn't the sheriff, it was like the mayor, I don't know, who threw it, like, because it didn't work. He was trying to light a cigar. And right then I knew, okay, that's going to blow the place up. Because you'd already seen her flaring the gas. On to sequels and remakes. In an interview, Parsons stated that he had an idea for a sequel if the film got good enough support. In February of last year, it was announced that a sequel was being actively discussed. What's the sequel?
I don't know if I'd like a sequel. I think this was a good one and done.
Oh, absolutely. I just don't know where they'd go with the sequel.
The beauty is that, you know, none of Cage's weirdness is explained at all.
Mm-hmm.
None of it.
Right.
It's just there. It's just, I mean, so I would not want to see an origin story or anything like that.
I mean, origin story ruins it.
It does.
He is, you know, the man with no name. He is,
right.
We were talking about it last week in reference to the Phoenix. He's the Drifter superhero.
Yeah.
We just don't have the aspect of the law being after him. So, yeah, you don't want to know what his backstory is. And, yeah, you could follow those two. Because the restaurant blew up. He killed all but one of the animatronic characters. I think one of them did survive.
And I'm not sure if she survived that explosion.
That's true.
She was right there for the explosion at the end.
And following Liv and the janitor would just kind of be just kind of dragging out a sequel unnecessarily.
Well, there's two possibilities, I think, for a sequel, I guess. You get the one monster, you know, the one animatronic monster that survived, follow them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe either into, like, New York.
Okay.
Like, into a city.
Right.
Or maybe space. Who knows?
Well, that'd be four. You know, they have a couple of sequels before they get there. Anyway.
Cut to the chase and just get to space.
Oh, yeah. Fair point. Underbrains?
On the brains.
It's a five. I mean, it's Mandy, but weirder.
I tried my damnedest to come up with a reason not to give this a five, but it's a fucking five. It's
just
so much fun watching Nicolas Cage brutalize Chuck E. Cheese monsters. I really didn't think that's where this is going to go, but here we are. There's so many funny lines and details, and it's worth watching again.
The best movies we've reviewed this year by far are Cage movies.
We are in the upside down now, without a doubt.
And what have we learned?
You know, I was thinking of maybe dyeing my beard, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea.
And I learned that there's always time for soda and pinball. And that's it for Wally's Wonderland. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Altered States as a William Hurt tribute. Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.